Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, March 22nd. One of the longtime leaders of the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition's effort to produce Capitol coverage just retired as the manager of KSJD in Cortez. Jeff Pope has been a role model in our movement for the past decade. KDNK's Gavin Dahl called him up on his last day and started by asking him what he'll miss most. On behalf of all of the listeners across the Rocky Mountains, we thank Jeff Pope for his dedication to public broadcasting, community access, and collaboration.
Just watching people blossom and become media makers and ask the questions and get excited about sharing what they have to give to their community through community radio, through KSJD, is so exciting. And we're lucky here. KSJD also has the Sunflower Theater, so we have actors and ushers and production staff. That's amplified even more so than just our DJs and our hosts and news people.
Can you talk about the changes at KSJD since you took over?
Our journey has been that we've been able to do some expansion and become a key part of our downtown. We bought an old building, and with the state and local help, we've been able to invest like $1 million in this building, give it another 100 years. And we're right in the center of town in Cortez, and we're part of all the hip stuff that's happening in this little town. And it's been, for me, just an honor to be on this ride with all the leaders in our community who stepped up to say, I want to be part of that. And you know, I have a vision that can make our community better through KSJD.
Talk about the significance of the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Network and what roles you've played in that over the years.
I've been a director, I've been a president, I've been a vice president of the organization. There are very few organizations in this country that operate like Rocky Mountain Community Radio, where stations come together to support a statehouse reporter and support each other. One of the past presidents was Nancy Stauffer, who used to run KDUR in Durango. And she used to say, I think the news is really important, but the more important thing for me, and I think there's some real truth in this, is that we as a system in Colorado, a network of public media providers, come together and share what we know, share what we're struggling with, and share our capacity to be on this journey of creating community through media, to do that together. And we have a conference every year, and it's really powerful. I've been honored to be in that organization at many different levels, and I am certain it's going to continue to grow as the collaboration between stations gets stronger and better and better.
Speaking of collaborations, you led the effort to apply for a grant for new Western Slope energy reporting. Can you talk about that?
Collaboration seemed like a really great way to help our communities see each other. People who have different ways of thinking about natural resources but use those same resources, we wanted to find a way to have those people come together and tell their stories and use our newsrooms to tell those stories. What typically happens is the narrative is, oh, nobody can come together over timber or water or air or anything. But in reality, I find that in rural Colorado, there are people working together all the time. And those stories need to be told, because upon that basis of success, of solutions, we will be able to find more and more solutions. People will feel less disheartened and more like, hey, we can make a difference, because look, they're doing that up in Montrose or down in Cortez or up in Carbondale. Maybe we could try that approach. So we put together a five-station collaborative, not to do something new, but to do something that everybody's already doing, which is great reporting. And that was, I think, really attractive to all the partners, is you're not asking me to do anything new, but you're going to send some money our way to do that, and you're going to train us, and we're going to get an editor. We said, yeah. So we're doing that. And I see it as a pilot, Gavin. I think, wouldn't it be great if we went to CPB in a couple of years and said, hey, here's the little guys who are really boots on the ground in their communities. They can see at a granular level. Can we apply for a local journalism center and be a pilot? That would be cool. There's never been a greater need to give locally to your community radio station, to your public media station that makes a difference. It can't be done without you. You're the donor. It makes a huge difference. We're so lucky to have, in all of our small communities, have these stations that are beacons. They're convening spaces for people and ideas. They're anchors in our community, and without them, we would be poorer for it. So please do it now.
Jeff Pope is a longtime station manager of KSJD and been very instrumental in the ongoing success of the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Network across more than a dozen stations in Colorado. Any last words of wisdom for those of us keeping this fight going that you've been part of for so long?
Keep your heart in it, keep your head in it, and never, ever give up.
Jeffrey Pope, thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, Gavin.
While industry groups continue to laud the environmental safety of non-traditional drilling operations, members of the medical community are warning that the build-out of fracking operations is creating a public health crisis. Communities on the Front Range of Colorado, where fracking is more and more common, are especially at risk. Eric Galatis has the story.
Physicians groups are sounding the alarm on the health risks posed by hydraulic fracturing and have published a compendium of scientific evidence that they say confirms the damage caused by fracking operations. Joel Miner with the group Earth Justice says mounting evidence shows that Colorado families living in the northern Front Range are exposed to harmful volatile organic compounds released into the air, which can lead to increased asthma attacks, heart attacks, and even premature death.
This compendium really puts that all in one place and shows people who live near unconventional oil and gas wells that they are at a higher risk for a number of health impacts, most likely caused by exposure to things like benzene that are leaked into the air during the hydraulic fracturing process.
More than 17 million Americans currently live within a mile of an active oil or gas well, including more than 2 million children and older adults, groups especially vulnerable to air pollution and contaminated water. Proponents of fracking say when done correctly, the process is environmentally safe and claim any spills or leaks are essentially the same as gasoline spilled when people fill up their tanks. Miner admits that any single spill may not be significant on its own, but he warns pollution, which largely occurs when transporting chemicals and wastewater, especially near watersheds and farmlands, can be cause for concern.
I think it's important to look at all of those spills together and think about the total volume of chemicals and fluids and waste products that are being spilled and look at those cumulative impacts over time.
Other health risks linked with fracking include respiratory disease, cancer, and two leading causes of infant death. Researchers also found that a disproportionate number of drilling operations and other infrastructure are located close to low-income areas and communities of color. The report was published by Physicians for Social Responsibility and Concerned Health Professionals of New York. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.